Okay, let's do a little review, and then we'll jump right into the Council of Nicaea, which is where the church hammered out the doctrine of the Trinity. So we mentioned in the first one that Alexander the Great brought a Hellenizing influence to all of the Roman Empire. In other words, the culture of the Greeks conquered the conquerors when Rome conquered, took over from and extended Alexander the Great's empire. Greek influence was prevalent in education, politics, administration, language, laws, philosophy, everything. So down through there, those various bullets are various ways in which the Greek influence provided a backdrop for the New Testament church. That reference in the first bullet, Koine Greek, says Acts 20:37. That's where Paul is in Jerusalem, and he's getting ready to be taken to Rome for trial, and he speaks to defend himself to the tribune, and the tribune says, "Do you speak Greek?" Of course, he then proceeds to speak in Hebrew to all the Jews who are about ready to kill him, and so. So that's an instance of where you see that there was a uniform language that had a certain brevity and clarity that enabled the gospel to go forth. We're under review for those of y'all who just came in. Review and background, be there. I'm just going to mention this. It occurred to me there's so many C's. The canon, the creeds, the Catholic Church. Constantine, who was the first Christian Roman emperor. It's really doubtful from my reading that Constantine was truly a Christian, but nonetheless, he legalized Christianity in the empire. Actually, a couple of emperors later officially legalized or declared that Christianity was the religion of the empire. But Constantine, seeing an opportunity to kind of have a cultural glue to his empire, to more, perhaps more for political reasons than anything. He ended persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. Constantine saw a vision before a battle where he in his vision, the Lord, the sign of the cross appeared. And he recognized, he thought that the Lord was saying, fight for the sign of the cross. And the Greek insignia that showed the sign of the cross became kind of, if you will, their emblem of his soldiers. And he won a miraculous victory. He won a great victory, conquered and solidified his rule over all of Rome. And from that moment on, everything changed. So that's a huge part, one of the C's there. Then that's Constantine. He changed the name. He moved the center of the Roman Empire to Constantinople. Constantinople is named after him. And that's modern Istanbul in Turkey. That was before that it was called Byzantine. Now, that's huge, the importance of that for the Orthodox Church, the Church in the East, and the Church in the West. We aren't even going to go into all that, but those are just little things that you'll need to know. And if you get this essential guide to church history, some of that will be fleshed out to you. By the way, they're $10 and make check out to Sovereign Grace Community Church if you want to. So then councils, which we're going to go over today. Next week, the City of God, which is what Augustine wrote, or Augustine, if you like to pronounce it that way. And then Charlemagne will come later. If you just look up all the C's in church history, you'll be on the way. Today we're going to talk about a turning point, and really that's what we've done. We've organized church history. What I'm trying to do, and it's a huge task, organize church history around the gospel and how it was handled. This book called Turning Points: Decisive Moments in the History of Christianity by Mark Knoll that's an excellent reference. And it's quoted in your outlines. It will be all the way through. Some of the turning points that we really didn't cover but are necessary for us to have a background AD 70 to 73, several things happened. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. They had just finished rebuilding the temple under Herod the Great about 3 or 4 years prior to that. And so in come the Romans and destroy the temple. So Christianity's link with Judaism and temple worship is essentially ended. That was a huge turning point for the church to move out from under the umbrella of Judaism, which afforded it protection because the Romans allowed Judaism was a legal religion, and they didn't see any distinction between Judaism and Christianity. But from that point out, with the persecution that we read about in the book of Acts, that started with the martyr Stephen, and later it was extended to all the Jews in the Roman Empire. From that moment on, Christianity assumed its more cosmopolitan flavor to the Gentiles as well. So AD 70 was a huge turning point. We haven't really talked about that, but you should know that. The temple was destroyed then, and Paul and Peter, very close to that period, were martyred in Rome. Both Paul and Peter end up in Rome. They teach, they preach, they live, they influence. They influence the church. They really have a profound influence on the Roman Empire. So that's a huge time. 144 to 405, we did this last week, canon. We didn't get to the creeds and the bishops, but canonizing the scripture, formulating creeds whereby one could identify him or herself as a Christian versus heresies. Creeds were like passwords. Creeds were like, if you can repeat this creed, which we'll get to one today, the Nicene Creed, then you're truly a Christian, as opposed to what we're going to study today, an Arian an Arian was a modern day Jehovah's Witness that could not affirm the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ simultaneously. So anyway, creeds, canon creeds, and the appointment of bishops over the church, churches, that had a huge influence on how the church moved. That we're going to really not jump that far. We're right at the same period right now.